Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Silk or Joe Show. Co-host Joe with you all here this weekend. As always, glad to be here with you all. Now, you can find our program online. Of course, we want to thank all the people responsible for it, and you can find them at MainStreetRadioNetwork.com. Well, the Salem Radio Network, we want to thank them for distributing the show as well. But MainStreetRadioNetwork.com is where you'll find out information about the show, so that's where we want to kind of direct your traffic to, you know, because that's where the show is at, that's where the podcasts are, and that's where the some of the people behind the show are that we want to thank for allowing this program to continue to exist. You know, sometimes management and the people on the program disagree, of course, it's natural, but Main Street Radio Network supports the First Amendment, so we would appreciate their support in that. And you can check us out on their website. They're so proud of us they got us on their website. Isn't that nice? MainStreetRadioNetwork.com. Podcasts for the show. But you can find us posting on their social media pages as well. Usually it's the Silk, as in Jane Silk, from the title Silk or Joe Show, who's doing all the posting on Facebook at Main Street Radio Network, Wimkin, W-I-M-K-I-N, at Main Street Radio Network, X at Main Street Radio. And we'll give a shout out to the Al Nathan Show. Once in a while, I guest host for him. Last week, I guest hosted for him twice. So it's all worth checking out his social media pages to see who's hosting that day. And he's also posting on the Facebook and Wimkin Main Street Radio Network pages, but also on X at Alan Nathan. And let's not forget the Silk or Joe Show's very much neglected page, because I'm the sole person responsible for it, GetterGETTR.com at Silk or Joe Show, where, if I remember to, I post. Anyway. So unlike the Alan Nathan Show, though, we don't really have topics that are written and posted on those social media pages, pre-arranged, all nice and neat in a format. In fact, right now I've got a topic that I'm just going to have to give away, that this show is a pre-tape, because there are certain expiration dates to it that may have passed by the time of airing. And this topic would be about the Texas gerrymandering battle. So I can't really talk about the outcome, of course, because where I'm sitting hasn't happened yet. But I can talk about the gerrymandering in general. Not only did I misspell that, but I mispronounced it while not even looking at the misspelling. So Massachusetts, the state of Massachusetts, which not only does not have any Republicans in Congress, but doesn't even border any Republican congressional districts, is talking about gerrymandering in retaliation for Texas. What exactly will they do? Massachusetts hasn't had a Republican congressman in nearly three decades. One-third of the state voted for Trump, but it's been 30 years since they've had a Republican congressman. 1997 was when the last one left office. Not even a century, not even this millennium, has Massachusetts had a Republican congressman, but they're talking about gerrymandering in response to Texas as if that's some kind of threat. There's a central part of Massachusetts, too. It's solid red, which they could easily squeeze a single Republican out of if they weren't gerrymandered. There's a big patch of red in the southeast part of the state, too. It's divided into three districts. While the patch that I mentioned that's kind of in the central part of the state, the big rectangular part of the state, that's divided into two districts. Meanwhile, the Texas Democrats, trying to prevent Republican gerrymandering in Texas by holding up the legislative session, insurrection, interfering in the legislative session, you know, the stuff that they charged January Sixers with, those Texas Democrats fighting gerrymandering flew to Illinois. Now, radical left-wing outlet Daily Kos once referred to Illinois' gerrymandering as, quote, redistmus. I'm not sure how they pronounce it, but it's a portmanteau of the words redistricting and Christmas. Democrats had total control of the state and had it for like 6 years when they executed their redistmus. So that was strictly about congressional seats. Now, and so, you know, it's rather hypocritical that they would go to a state that was praised for redistricting in favor of Democrats, gerrymandering in favor of Democrats, by a Democrat media outlet to protest gerrymandering, right? You'd think they would have gone for a more neutral Democrat state, you know, one that's naturally Democrat, like, say, California. Like, even though California is redistricted to hell and back to the point where they have only 9 congressmen Republican to 43 Democrats, despite a lot of red areas out there, and, you know, the population is still mostly liberal, so that would be a logical place to flee, because even if there was gerrymandering, who could tell, right? So that would have been more logical. But anyway, To everyone's shock, though, Stephen Colbert on his show, which, you know, hadn't had a conservative guest in forever, like this in the last year, they've had, what, 100 liberals and zero conservatives, something to that effect. I could be conflating those numbers with The View, which had 102 liberal guests and zero conservatives. Or was it 106 liberals, zero conservatives? Either way, the Colbert show had like one conservative, but that was Liz Cheney. And I don't think she counts anymore. I don't think she's counted as a conservative for quite some time. But that was counted in the metric for Colbert show for whatever the hell reason. I guess to try and give it some kind of air of bipartisanship. One guest when there's double digits in the other direction, right? By the way, to everyone's shock, though, he actually asked the Illinois Governor Pritzker, who of course, Democrat in charge of the gerrymandered state, about Illinois' gerrymandering. He even pulled up a map of the gerrymandering, made a joke about it. Now, Pritzker replied that Texas is evil because somehow what they are doing is unconstitutional, and what they are doing is violating the Voting Rights Act, which coincidentally local media here in the D.C. area was touting as turning 60 this week, praising Democrat Lyndon Johnson, but leaving out how he only did it because Republicans gave him no choice, and it was either sign the bill, take credit for it, or it goes back to the Republican-controlled Senate, which had enough votes to pass it through. So Johnson had no choice in the matter. This was not a Democrat thing by any stretch of the imagination. The Democrats hated it, protested it. In fact, Senator Byrd, a Democrat who Nancy Pelosi praised, even though he's a former Klansman, allegedly former Klansman, Senator Byrd voted against the Voting Rights Act, and Pelosi called him like the most level-headed guy, never had a wrong vote in his life. So that's what Democrats thought contemporary to today about the Voting Rights Act. Pelosi said that only 15 years ago, which in political terms is just yesterday. Anyway, though, Pritzker was, when talking about the Texas gerrymandering, he was saying they were erasing minority voters, but these days, districts must have nearly equal population and can't discriminate based on race or ethnicity. In other words, if it disproportionately skews in favor of one group or another, like, say, the minorities Pritzker talks of, it's wrong. Anyway, they were also about California Governor Newsom threatening to redistrict California. And as I mentioned, there's 43 Democrats and 9 Republicans in Congress from California, which can easily be annihilated. So does that mean Texas congressmen want to back down because the 5 seats they gain will be undermined by the 9 seats California's going to get rid of? Well, nope, not anymore, I'd say. At this point now that the voters have redistricting on the table, what's to stop it from happening? Why wouldn't Illinois just carry out its threat to redistrict as well? There's ways to do it. There's ways to get rid of the Republican districts in Illinois. Just, I saw this one goofy map that someone came up with that would do it, where like Chicago was the focal point and every district had had Chicago in it. And the districts were basically vertical lines across the state of Idaho. I mean, it looked nice and orderly, but, you know, vertical lines emanating out of Chicago. So every district had a slice of Chicago in it, which would skew it to the Democrats and probably give them victory in there. So, and again, what's to stop them from carrying out these redistricting threats, even if Republicans in Texas back down? Heck, maybe they're planning on doing it anyway, and Texas just got out there in the news first. The Democrats needed some trick up their sleeve with their party at historic lows in approval ratings. As for California, even their progressives at first weren't happy with their governor threatening unilateral redistricting because they have an independent commission, allegedly independent, that does this. And Newsom would throw that out to do it himself against the law. To act without that commission in California, Gavin Newsom would need to hold a special election first to undo the state's constitutional amendments that led to the independent commission. So if he acted without it, that'd be illegal. Though part of me wonders if this wasn't just a scheme by the Texas GOP to oust Democrat state representatives anyway. They passed a law saying they could be arrested if they fled the state in such a situation as this, because they did it before in 2021. So, you know, they knew that they would flee the state if they did something like this. And possibly just staged it to arrest with no real plan to go through redistricting. Now, some GOP congressmen are jittery about the redistricting idea in Texas and ask that state legislators not do it. Maybe they never intended to do it, like I said, just wanted to bust some Democrat heads. But that doesn't matter either, because regardless of how this turns out, Democrats will still want to do this. A redistricting arms race has launched. Democrats are probably testing their messaging right now. Is this the issue to pull them out of the gutter? Or will this issue at least prolong them as irrelevance overtakes them? Or will redistricting keep them in the House and give them some undeserved relevance and power while they still try to figure out what their message is? I mean, in the long run, it might end up helping Republicans because, you know, we're talking right now about the do-nothing Republican Congress, right? Always happens. They get Congress, they renege on all their promises to do anything. They just sit on their thumbs. I mean, we're lucky that we got the big, beautiful bill out of them. So if the Democrats win the House next year, then Republicans finally have an excuse to not do anything that might fly with the voters. And Democrats, they might just give up and think, okay, we won the House, we'll rest on our laurels here, we don't need a message or anything, and think that the redistricting that gave them the House somehow equated to having a message that appeals to the voters that would win in a presidential election when it wouldn't. More Silk or Joe after this break.
Everyone's using it, but not everyone is talking about it, and that's AI in the workplace. Kelsey Warren, founder of the Seamless Coach LLC, shares why many employees say they're keeping this, along with their feelings about other technologies, to themselves, and what business and IT leaders can learn.
According to new research from Cox Business, 60% of Gen Z and millennials feel positive about the growing role of AI at work and use AI tools for everything from summarizing meetings to creative brainstorming. But about half of both groups are nervous to admit how much the role of AI technology plays in their productivity. Fear of job loss and uncertainty about companies' AI policies factor into employees' hesitancy to speak up. The survey also revealed that despite being confident in their ability to adopt new technology, nearly 70% feel overwhelmed by the number of tools they're expected to use at work.
For more information and to see the full survey, visit coxblue.com/workplace-tech-survey.
On November 13, 2022, four University of Idaho students were brutally murdered in the quiet college town of Moscow, Idaho. Within the devastated community, questions and fear abound. A new documentary series on Prime Video, One Night in Idaho, The College Murders, investigates this shocking event to uncover the truth. The twists and turns of what happened after the murders, an explosion of online digging, a cross-country manhunt, a dramatic arrest and a looming trial made this one of the most talked about stories in recent memory. This was a case that captured the country's attention and fed its paranoia. It was one of the highest profile stories of the last decade, and it created a lot of social media sleuths who tried to find answers. One Night in Idaho, The College Murders delivers enlightening details from those involved in and affected by the crimes and explores the continued impact and fallout. One Night in Idaho, The College Murders, premieres July 11th only on Prime Video.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, in all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at pva.org.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show. Everybody, co-host Joe with you all here today. Greatly missing the mute button so that I can cough without coughing into the microphone and everyone hearing it. You know, you can turn your head and cough and all that, but someone's going to hear it anyway. Anyway, though, we got this Truth Social post from Donald Trump out here. Quote, I have instructed our Department of Commerce to immediately begin work on a new and highly accurate census based on modern-day facts and figures and, importantly, using the results and information gained from the presidential election of 2024. People who are in our country illegally will not be counted in the census. Thank you for your attention on this matter. Well, that's good. And this is coming amidst this fight over redistricting. And here's this awesome Breitbart headline here. Massachusetts governor threatens redistricting, then in parentheses they have with no GOP seats to take out. And again, Massachusetts has two very big red areas in the state, but they've been redistricted to hell and back. One's cut into two, one's cut into three. So there's no way any of them are going to win. And the last time there was redistricting, they just enhanced how many Democrat districts there were, because that was like 2010. And since 1997, there hasn't been a single Republican congressman in Massachusetts. So what's going to happen with that? Who knows? What redistricting can they possibly do at this point? Going to make the state have even fewer Republican votes for Trump? Like, are they just going to, is redistricting in their case mean election fraud? What's going on with that? Anyway, though, back to the situation, though, at hand that I was getting into at the end of the last segment, about how, in the long run, this redistricting fight might help Republicans in Texas if it does lead to a redistricting war across the country. Think about it now. Democrats are grasping at straws for whatever power they can. Republicans, meanwhile, are doing absolutely nothing with the House. Crickets. Big Beautiful Bill and teensy rescissions package, both of which were nerfed by establishment GOP. Wow. How wonderful of you. That's it. That's all you got. So having Democrats win in 2026 does two things. Once again, it gives the GOP a real excuse not to do anything. Instead, the bogus lies they tell you now that make me want to throw up. And Democrats might get overconfident and forget that they need something to campaign on. They might start believing they won the House because they connected to voters rather than because they gerrymandered. They might forget they need to win everyone in a presidential election or even Senate races. They might forget that it's a statewide thing and that their redistricting really only affected the congressional districts and it didn't represent the actual sentiment of the voters. So actually, I can see nationwide rhinos, Republicans in name only, and hard-nosed conservatives both pushing for this gerrymandering arms race. Each side deluded into thinking that they'll come up with the winner and come up as the winner, unaware that the enemy within is just as strong as the enemy outside. And you have actually Republican congressman from California, Kevin Kiley. He introduced a bill to block this mid-decade redistricting aiming at California, but taking out Texas too in the process, just trying to prevent California from redistricting. But the way the bill's worded, it would prevent Texas from redistricting. And like I said in the last segment, there are some Republican congressmen in Texas who are kind of leery about the idea of redistricting because it might cause their seats to have more Democrat voters. And maybe those seats are kind of purple already, or they're not as stable as perhaps the folks doing the redistricting think. So it might actually be risking those five seats that they're gaining on this gamble. And especially if voters are led with the mainstream media narrative that this redistricting angle is just some bogus power grab by the Republicans and Democrats are totally innocent of doing any redistricting of the kind. They've never done such a thing in their life. It's only those evil Republicans who want to overthrow democracy by gerrymandering, which is, wow, that word is so foreign to Democrats they can't even spell it, even though it's how they managed to weave out Republicans in states like Massachusetts. And so we'll see where this battle goes, this redistricting war goes. But like I said, at the time of taping, it hadn't reached its culmination yet. You have this other angle, though, that I mentioned in the last segment, how the Democrats and or the Republicans in the Texas State House, maybe they just did this redistricting thing in order to get one up over the Democrats, because they have these rules now about when you can or can't leave the Texas State House of Representatives. So what's going on with this is that in Texas, you need, they call it a quorum. You need a majority of the, a certain number anyway, of the state delegation to be in the session in order for any votes to take place. Otherwise, it's not considered valid. So to make sure that after they pulled the stunt in 2021, after the Democrats, that is, pulled the stunt in 2021, where they just fled the state in order to avoid some vote back then, the state house, state legislature, they passed something that allowed these people to be arrested. So that is a very valid idea that perhaps the Texas Democrats, they knew this would be going nowhere. They knew this was a non-starter. They knew that they could, any state districts that they redrew could easily be overcome by some other Democrat state. And their actual goal was just to arrest and oust some of the state Democrats in Texas, which seems to be the case. Texas governor right now, Greg Abbott, he's talking about working with the state attorney general to actually remove from office state Democrats who are refusing to do any of this. And boy, we're seeing there's actually an investigation now into who's funding them committing this unlawful act of fleeing the state to avoid the legislative session. Because Beto O'Rourke, you might remember him, he could not do anything to save his life as far as running for office goes. He couldn't win Texas, the Senate there. He couldn't win the Senate in Texas. He couldn't go very far in the Democrat presidential race as a nominee. He just couldn't do anything for himself outside of be a congressman for some district in Texas for a while. That's the best he managed to do, right? So he has a super PAC for some reason, though. And that PAC donated money to fund the flight the Democrats took in order to leave Texas. Now, isn't that interesting? They're taking donations there to flee the state to not do their job. And again, it's unlawful. So depending on the level of criminality that it is, I don't know if it's a felony or a misdemeanor what they're doing, then Beto O'Rourke Super PAC and whoever's running it, whoever authorized that donation, could be held criminally liable for aiding and abetting. And certainly Democrats who are above the law, they wouldn't want to be caught dead doing stuff like that, right? Wrong. And so, well, again, we have to see out where this goes. Everything is still in play right now. That investigation is still ongoing. Will there be consequences? Or will it be like any other investigation we've heard from Republicans where it seems everyone skates by? I mean, gee whiz, we had this whole Russiagate thing dropped on us where we get multiple perjuries and all that, and nothing's going to be done about it. Seems like nothing's going to be done about it. We got an announcement that there's investigations and stuff, but will anything come of it? Who knows? The House Republicans in 2017, they had a chance to hold people accountable for perjury committed in the Biden or under the Obama administration. Hillary Clinton lied to Congress about her emails containing classified information. James Clapper, NSA director, but he lied about NSA spying to Congress under oath. He lied about it. Both of those people could have held accountable for perjury, but they weren't. So it really sets the bar low for expectations for what will actually come of any of these investigations by the GOP. More Silk or Joe Show after this break.
With summer in full swing, a new survey is making waves and raising eyebrows about what really happens in America's swimming pools. The 2025 Healthy Pool Survey finds nearly half of swimmers admit to regularly rinsing their dirty feet or sandals in the pool, turning it into a communal foot bath. Three-time Olympic gold medalist and swimming safety advocate Rowdy Gaines urges swimmers to think twice.
This isn't just gross, it's dangerous. Chlorine is meant to kill germs, but it can't do that as effectively when it's overloaded with, say, dirt, sand, and other contaminants.
In response, the American Chemistry Council and Pool and Hot Tub Alliance are raising awareness of how swimmer habits directly affect water quality.
Everyone plays a role in pool safety. You may be tempted to dip your feet or flip-flops in the water, but find that nearest shower and rinse off there instead. That small step can make a big difference in keeping pools safe and healthy.
Learn more at healthypools.org.
According to the U.S. Army, nearly 50% of military recruits come from rural areas, despite less than 20% of the U.S. population living in those communities. This strong representation highlights the deep tradition of service rooted in rural America, a connection that one company is uniquely positioned to celebrate. Marty Skold-Jordan, executive director of the Tractor Supply Foundation, explains about her company's Hometown Heroes program to honor and help.
Tractor Supply knows our active military, veterans, and first responders pay an incredible price for protecting us and keeping us safe. These are our everyday hometown heroes who have answered the call. And so the Tractor Supply Foundation is awarding $100,000 grants to 10 organizations that support these heroes. In addition, we're honoring local hometown heroes in our stores nationwide and offering all hometown heroes everyday savings and exclusive benefits through our Neighbors Club.
To learn more about the Hometown Heroes program, go to tractorsupply.com/hometownheroes.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon? Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show. Everybody, co-host Joe with you all here today. And we are joined for this segment by Michael Letts. He is CEO and founder of InvestUSA, a national grassroots nonprofit providing police with bulletproof vests that has aided agencies internationally. Michael has earned the Congressional Gold Medal Award for Community Service and has over 30 years of experience in law enforcement and is currently chaplain with several agencies as well as the state constable for the state of South Carolina. Michael Letts, always happy to talk with you. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, glad to have you. So we're talking now about these, how these pro-Palestinian protesters seem to think they have a license to attack law enforcement and invade wherever they care to. Last week, they went into the Grand Central Station terminal, where they got a very lukewarm reception from the locals, but they also charged at police officers. And then in Manhattan, one of the New York City councilwomen, they led a charge against Senator Chuck Schumer's office there, which, you know, I thought that was overthrowing democracy myself. But what's your take on all this?
I'm laughing at your characterization, yeah. They should be thinking that. After all, they were quick to assume that when on January the 6th, so why wouldn't they assume the same thing here? But it is interesting when you take a look at the progression. Of course, when this happened back October 7th, when Hamas invaded Israel, and then you had all that reprehensible just brutalization of innocent civilians. And of course, in this country, they wanted to make sure that they were seen sympathetically, that we would do something to support Hamas, which as evil as that nature is, I don't know why anybody would even consider that. But you notice how they started off. First, they started off by saying, look at all these poor children in Gaza who are dying of starvation. We found out that wasn't true. Actually, there was more food that had been sent over there. They could feed an army. The problem was that Hamas was keeping it from those poor little children who needed it. They didn't want you to know that fact. So then they went from just trying to get your sympathy to becoming a little bit more vocal. We're going to do sit-ins. We're going to keep you from going to class. We're going to keep you from going to work because we're going to block key intersections. Now they have progressed to the next level. They're actually violent. They're not protesters. They're rioters now. They're breaking the law. They're assaulting law enforcement officers. And they're doing it all under the guise of wanting us to be sympathetic to Islamic jihadists, which is exactly what Hamas is. This is the same group that has over 120 terrorist cells, sleeper cells in this country, that have been advancing their agenda on prying on America, trying to destroy us from within, victimizing our citizens, raping, murdering, stealing, killing, and then they expect us somehow to have sympathy. The sad part about this is we actually have American citizens, many of them are somewhat elderly, white female, who somehow believe their rhetoric that Hamas is simply trying to help poor people yearning to breathe free, to have a better life ahead. And this oppressive regime that we have called the Trump administration is attempting to subvert and destroy all their dreams and ambitions for them and their children. Total hogwash and garbage. It's amazing to me anybody would even buy that line when you look at their actions. But that's where we're at, and we expected it to degenerate into violence. It's going to get worse. Here's what I'm telling America. If we don't start holding people accountable for their actions, I don't care if you're supporting Hamas or you're supporting the local stray cats. If you want to commit crimes, nefarious activities, harm people, destroy property, we should be holding you accountable to the maximum extent of the law. What they try to do is when we make statements like that, they say, look at what an org he is. He's nothing but a vicious thug trying to be a dictator. No, the way to show compassion to the American people and to our future generations are to make sure they can live in a society that's free from crime, that's safe, that they're able to enjoy the freedoms that this nation affords. That's compassion. We've lost sight of that. It's time to reestablish that. We have values and principles once again and hold those who break those values and principles accountable for doing so.
Yeah, and ironically, another angle of attack they have is they point to January 6th and say, well, we are justified in doing X, Y, Z because this happened on that date and you all seem to be in favor of it or whatever. So we can do anything we want, even though we were doing anything we wanted before that during the summer of 2020.
You're exactly right. You know, what you catch me chuckling is You got your terminology right. There was an insurrection on January the 6th. But look at what's coming out now. You just have the wrong players. Y'all are the ones doing the insurrection, trying to overthrow this government between Obama, Comey, Brennan, you name it. They were the ones trying to overthrow this government, still are, quite frankly. And that is coming out to light. And that is why I am saying across the country, it is more imperative now than ever that we stand for accountability and send a strong signal of holding people responsible for their actions and providing justice. And yes, that's going to mean some very severe crimes for those who attempted to destroy our country from within.
Now, my worry is that this is just going to be political theater, like how the Democrats had their Mueller probe going all throughout the Trump's first term. And then when they finally get their attorney general into office, you know, even though they had enough phony crimes to persecute Trump for related to that, they just came up with totally new ones. So, like, is the GOP just going to pull that same playbook and hope that that plays well into the midterms? Or are we actually going to see accountability from this administration finally?
Well, I think one of the things that's a great question, and I think one of the answers that we should be strongly considering, that I'm asking the administration to strongly consider, is, you know, isn't it interesting in our Constitution, there's only one crime that's addressed, and that is insurrection, treason, insurgency. That's the only crime that's addressed in the Constitution. And why is it addressed, and why no other crimes? Because that particular crime, there is a solution that is given by our forefathers to say, you know, in those particular situations, you could take a look at constituting a military tribunal. That's something that we need to be strongly considering. Why would you consider a military tribunal? Well, you know, when you look at our jurisprudence system now, if I commit a murder, yes, I affect the family that I murdered. I affect maybe someone in the community, but that's about it. But when you're talking about treason, you're talking about insurrection, who do you affect? Every American citizen, that's 330 million people, get affected. And that is why a crime of that magnitude, our forefathers envisioned this and said, you know, you may need a situation to where you can effectively deal with it and get it eliminated quickly, because it'll have a tendency to corrupt the rest of the country if not dealt with appropriately. That's what a military tribunal is all about. All this, you know, we're going to argue, do I have immunity? Do I not have immunity? It was his fault first. Oh, I need to have a delay in my trial. Give me another year to prepare. All that goes away when there's a military tribunal. Military tribunal gets to the point quickly, within 30 to 60 days, determines whether there was a violation of judicial law, determines what is the penalty of that, and moves forward to execute whatever the penalty was. Of course, the commander-in-chief has the ultimate say, but that's where we need to be if we're going to move forward.
Yeah, it's sad that our country is at the point where such things could have to be seriously considered because of just how easy it is for someone to get away with actual treason. Like, you have these guys out there, the Obama team, they're working with everybody except the American people to undermine a democratically elected president. You know, they got Russia and foreign intelligence services involved in their meddlings.
They did. You're exactly right. That was one of the key aspects that we're seeing in this is, and this is what I'm letting the American public know. You know, I have people say, what's going on with the Epstein files? What's going on with this and that? I want you to know this is all tied in together, whether it's Russiagate, whether it's Epstein, whatever it is. This is the biggest syndicated criminal network in history. And it is focused on one thing, and that is the destruction of America, her freedoms and her liberties. And all these crimes are coming together. They're all starting to come out together now. And we need to make sure, because of the magnitude of it, because it affects 330 million people, we need military tribunals. We don't need delays. We don't need technicalities ruling that somehow, oops, I guess he gets off on this one because somebody didn't read him his rights fast enough or somebody didn't do this or that. No, this is the most serious thing this nation has ever faced, and it's time we deal with it accordingly.
Mm-hmm. And I guess the concern about that, though, is what happens, hypothetically, if these guys succeed with their next attempt to pull something off. You know, sure, we get the group now that's bubbled to the surface, but someone else will bubble to the surface in the future. Now they have this military tribunal tactic on their hands, and they can just fabricate whatever the heck they want for it.
And you're right. That's always going to be a concern. But I will tell you this. The criminal mind, the criminal element, are much more cautious when they know there is a severe stiff penalty and a swift penalty to be paid for the nefarious actions that they take. Much more so than they think, if I can do it, no consequence, I'll do it again tomorrow. I do it, I see huge consequences, I'll be a little more careful next time I think about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Michael, let's appreciate you being on the show to talk about this. Where can I also find out more about InvestUSA?
They go to our website. That's INVESTUSA.org. Make sure you support our first responders. We need it now more than ever. God bless you and God bless America.
All right, God bless you too and what you do for law enforcement and listeners. We got more Silver Joe Show after this break.
Looking for a career path with strong pay, room to grow, and real impact? The U.S. energy industry is growing fast with a need to fill 32 million jobs in the next decade. Gabriela Colon is a recruitment manager at National Grid.
When people think of energy jobs, they picture engineers or skilled trade professionals like electricians and technicians. We've got plenty of those jobs open, but we also need professionals in areas like IT, communications, finance, cybersecurity, and more.
You don't need industry experience to pursue an energy career. Ignacio Estella is SVP of Talent and Innovation at Avangrid.
Our industry values skills-based hiring and provides on-the-job training, making it accessible for those with a strong work ethic and a willingness to learn, even without a college degree. Whether you have a GED, a PhD, or something in between, there are opportunities in energy.
Visit getintoenergy.org to explore different career paths and search openings.
A critically acclaimed docuseries returns to Prime Video with a compelling and powerful new chapter. Shiny Happy People, A Teenage Holy War, reveals teenagers being exploited, manipulated, and converted into soldiers to make America a Christian nation at any cost. The three-part series focuses on the controversial organization Teen Mania, once America's largest youth ministry, which attracted millions through their wildly popular stadium shows. Teens filled colossal stadiums, sang religious rock anthems, swore purity oaths, and embarked on culturally questionable global missions. But beneath the wholesome illusion lies a darker undercurrent, brutal spiritual boot camps, and relentless psychological control, all under the command of a charismatic leader with endless ambitions. The previous installment of Shiny Happy People, which unveiled the truth behind the Duggar family, was the number one most viewed documentary series on Prime Video. Don't miss Shiny Happy People, A Teenage Holy War, now streaming on Prime Video.
With peak car buying season coming up, one thing you want to think about is how does that affect your insurance? So a couple recommendations we have is make sure you're always reviewing your policy. Whether you're adding a new vehicle, adding a driver, or just updating your coverage overall, you want to make sure that you're reviewing your coverage and the price. One way to do that is to consult an independent agent because they can help you navigate the tricky insurance buying process. The second thing is, how do you become more insurance savvy? So a couple recommendations we have is to understand some of the basic terms. The first one is deductible. That's the amount of coverage that's the amount that you pay before your coverage kicks in. And it's important to keep in mind that the higher deductible you take, the lower your premium is. But remember, if you do have a claim, that's the amount that you're going to be paying. So you want to make sure it fits within your budget. The second term is premium, and that's what you pay for the coverage that you're getting. One way to find an independent agent is to go to agent.travelers.com and find a local agent near you.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of three boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about 1 in 4 car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all gotta help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're gonna be saving our lives. To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back to the Silver Joe Show, everybody. Thank you for sticking with us through this hour of the program. So as I mourned in the opening of the show, you know, at this point, the war is on as far as redistricting goes and all that. Well, now you have Democratic strategist James Carville. He says that Democrats need, in order to save democracy, to pretty much make sure Democrats run the country and have a one-party rule forever. Because one-party rule, as you know, is what democracy is. He says that Democrats need to, first they need to add Puerto Rico and the District of Columbia as states, even though District of Columbia was never intended to be a state. In Puerto Rico, you know, the citizens there, if you ask them if they want to be a state, they say, oh yes, but then you say you're going to have to pay, you're going to be taxed out the wazoo, they say no. So they're just going to make the decision for Puerto Rico to add them as a state, or lie to them about what they're going to get if so, and make them regret it and make them want to secede at some point. And as far as D.C. goes, yeah, that's the people, the elite running the country. They're going to be blue as the sky forever. And also he's saying they're going to have to expand the Supreme Court to make sure it's all Democrat judges on there, or Democrat judge majority on the Supreme Court. And all of this to ensure one-party rule will be democracy, because the best way to counter what the Republicans are doing is to do it themselves and make sure that no other parties can be in charge again. That's democracy. And have you noticed, too, how whether it was Mitt Romney, George Bush, whether it was Trump or anyone Trump was running against in 2016, it was always the same rejoinder. They're trying to save democracy by making sure that you have only one party that you can vote for. I guess they don't really quite, you know, they keep conflating the word democracy, I guess, with the term Democrat Party. But they have plenty of reason to be scared right now, especially after Trump's announcement about the rejigging the census that I mentioned earlier in the show. If you exclude illegal aliens from the census, Gateway Pundit here has this headline saying that up to 30 Democrat House seats could evaporate. Imagine that. If you get rid of illegal immigrants on the census, Democrats lose 30 seats. Huh. Who are they representing? That they would lose 30 seats if people who aren't supposed to be in the country in the first place are suddenly gone from the census. I mean, does the census count tourists as well? Who qualifies as a non-citizen counted for election at that on the census? And why is it that we have 30 Democrat seats? And they count for that. Texas doesn't need to redistrict to get rid of them. We just need to stop counting illegal immigrants on the census. And I think that would be much easier for the public to swallow than it would be, than this redistricting. But guess what? This redistricting in Texas would have to happen with it anyway, because you know darn well, if these 30 seats are lost because illegal immigrants aren't counted, there's going to be a gerrymandering fight right there. It's only going to be pushed off at this point. You know, hypothetically, let's say at the time of airing, the Texas Republicans, they backed down. Okay, we're not going to actually do this redistricting thing. We just wanted to do this to arrest all these Democrats and bust their heads and get them out of the state legislature. And we were bluffing. We're not going to redistrict. Well, that just pushed the fight farther into the future, because this fight will happen if Trump gets his way. And if the American people get their way, honestly, because I don't think anyone wants, the majority of the people, I don't think, want illegal immigrants counted in the census. Why would they want that? That's crazy. Why would someone who isn't supposed to be voting counted amongst the apportionment of representation? They're not supposed to be represented. They're not even supposed to be here. So why are they represented? Why do they have a voice in Congress You know, at this point, you might as well call it the Foreign Country Caucus. You might as well call everyone from those districts traitors, because they aren't representing the interests of the United States. They're representing the interests of the various foreign countries that comprise their district. Because none of them are citizens. None of these illegals are citizens. Therefore, they are representatives of a foreign government. I mean, we saw that in the protest in Los Angeles. You know, the protests in favor of money laundering, back when ICE conducted raids to break up a money laundering operation that presumably Democrats are profiting off of. At least that's what it looks like. Democrats staged these massive protests, these riots. That's what they were. They were riots, property destruction, attacks on police, etc. And it's all these people waving Mexican flags, these non-citizens from Mexico, Mexican citizens waving Mexican flags, attacking police officers and law enforcement and federal law enforcement. I don't know how you can call that anything other than a foreign invasion, honestly. But Democrats seem to think that those are just American citizens or future American voters protesting their rights, even though they're Mexicans protesting on behalf of the country of Mexico, with the country of Mexico itself saying that these are Mexican citizens and the country of Mexico would act to protect them. Okay, so that's the people that the Democrats are trying to represent here, citizens of a foreign country over the interests of America. Heck, I mean, there was this Democrat congressman the other day who was at this conference of socialists in South America, and she said that she's a Guatemalan before she's an American, which kind of throws that oath of office she took out the window, doesn't it? So that's the act of treason right there, isn't it? You just admitted that you're working at the behest of a foreign country over Americans, and we now apparently have 30 Democrat House seats that are operating at the behest of foreign countries over the interests of American citizens. That all seems like treason to me. So we got to do a definite redistricting to a definite redoing of the census in order to get rid of that. But Democrats, they're still going to want their power, which is derived from these non-citizens. With them gone, they're going to redistrict, which will push that 30-seat difference probably to something closer to 5 or 6, back to where it is right now. And so this circles back to this fight in Texas over redistricting. They'll just have to do it anyway in order to get more House seats for Republicans. So it's all going to come back to that. The Democrats are going to gerrymander no matter what. Either they're going to gerrymander in response to Republicans gerrymandering in Texas. They're going to either do that, or they're going to gerrymander preemptively, because they're going to say, oh, look, the Republicans in Texas almost did it. It was only our threat of gerrymandering that stopped them. So we're just going to do it anyway, because they're going to do it anyway. Or Democrats are going to do it when Trump takes away their illegal immigrant vote. Well, not well. Yes, technically vote. That's part of it. But apportionment. Millions of illegal immigrants did vote. The Heartland Found Institute, they found out, they did a survey of illegal immigrants, and they found out that, yes, millions of illegal immigrants did vote in 2020 and plan to vote in 2024. Of course, this poll was done before the 2024 election. So with them out of the way, and with their with those millions of votes gone, and with those millions of populations taken away from the census, Democrats are going to probably lose more than 30 seats in the House. So they have no choice but to redistrict and gerrymander in order to remain a functioning party with some say on the national scale. And Republicans are just going to have to respond in kind. So the gerrymandering war has only just begun, and it's going to play out over the next 6 years probably as the census and stuff comes in. Anyway, folks, thanks for tuning in to this weekend's Silk or Joe Show. Our website is MainStreetMediaNetwork.com. Social media, Gettr, GETTR.com at Silk or Joe Show, plus the Main Street Media Network social media pages. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com.